Well, I don't doubt that. And I'm just sitting in the master's chair over here, and I feel the power. Oh, good morning, everybody. Great morning, ain't it? You know, I think about speaking in the morning. No, I started the Bible study in Shoney's. Oh, at Shoney's, and we started at 6 o'clock. And I said, well, 6 o'clock, you know, who's going to get up that early? And you know, that Bible study grew to it was about 10 people. And I couldn't believe my eyes that people would get up at 6 o'clock and go to a Bible study. It actually grew, you know. And it just goes to show you, there are people starving for this. I mean, just literally starving for this. A lady at the community center, just out of nowhere, she said, would you teach a Bible study here? And I said, well, sure I will. I'd be happy to. And so I went and started teaching. I've taught two times. First time it was five people there. The second time it was 10. And it's just picking up like wildfire. And I was telling them while I was teaching them, I said, you know, you're some of the most fortunate people in the world to get to hear this. And I'm the most fortunate person in the world to be able to tell you this. You know, you get to hear the grace of God without any works. And people, they're all ears. They just love it, just like us. It's such an amazing thing that you have that gift. You have the grace of God, and you can tell it to another person. And God has people that are in your path that just would love to hear the same thing that you hear. You know, I want to come out of Romans chapter 7 this morning. And, you know, I've been talking about this, and there's been some... First, I want to do this, and then... But this has been on my mind since Baton Rouge. And I prayed about it a lot, and it just wouldn't leave me. So I guess the thing to do is preach on it, and maybe it'll go away. But I've been talking to several people here about some of the things that's going on. And it's just simply amazing me that the things I've talked about, every preacher got up here has preached on it. It does amaze me. I used to have new people that would come to the church there in Oneonta, and we'd be having a discussion about, you know, baptism or something like that. And I'd be going to, you know, listen to EC preach, and EC came from Pensacola and to Birmingham to preach. I had no idea, you know, what he was teaching on or preaching on. And we'd talk about baptism all the way there, and then Brother Moore would teach on baptism. And that's happened to me. I just can't count the times. I've been talking about commitment to some people here, and you people know it. You people, we talked about this after Obi spake. I said, looky there. There it is again. And all three preachers have preached on commitment. And say, well, and then I started kidding with them. I started saying, yeah, I call them all the time and we get it all up together, so we'll do that. And, you know, we don't know what each other's preaching on. I remember a preacher asked me one time, he said, what are you preaching on? And I said, that platform behind the pulpit. See, we have no idea. And it's just simply amazing to see God's work and see how God puts it all together, ain't it? But in Romans chapter 7, look at verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she be no adulteress, though she be married to another. And it's like, see, my wife, before she ever got saved and knew anything, her husband got killed in a car wreck, which was my best friend. And I actually told her that her husband got killed. I went to her work, and I told her that my best friend was dead. and we actually hugged each other and cried. And she used to, after he was dead, go to his grave and talk to him. There are people that do that all the time. You know that? But listen, Frankie could not answer her. She could go and talk to him all she wanted to, but he was dead. And she could ask him all the questions about what she should do in life. And listen, there was nothing that came from that grave. Nothing. It was just silence. You know why? Because he was dead. In other words, Paul is talking about the law is dead to us. I have no reason to go back into the Old Testament and take the law and apply it to my life today. Absolutely. It's dead. It can't talk to me. It can't do nothing for me in my life. I'm under grace. If you want to see what God has in store for you, you go to Paul. And everything you need, everything that's there that we need to serve the Lord is in Romans through Philemon. Now, I believe that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture, we can have comfort in the Scripture, but it has for our comfort to see how things are. I tell people all the time, if you're from some other country and I told you this is America, you wouldn't understand. But if I sat down and showed you how America came into being and how everything happened, then you would understand what America is. That's what the Old Testament's for. It's so I can understand grace and what it is. But it's not for me to follow. Now, in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, look at verse 5. For my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should not be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did bring in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now notice the motions of sin. And it's brought forth, notice in verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which was by the law. The motions of sin. You know, listen, when I was in the flesh, the motions of law controlled me. The law controlled my emotions. And I've got that little sideways there. But my law controlled my emotions. Listen, when I went to a church, which was a Southern Baptist, it wasn't a Southern Baptist, it was an independent, fundamental, premillennial Baptist. That's what it was. When I went to that church, that controlled me. Listen, my flesh controlled me, and I had the motions of sin. Listen, I did not know while I was going to that church, I did not know that I was a sinner. You see, sin had deceived me. All of a sudden, I'm a good guy. I'm a Christian. I don't sin no more. Oh, no. See, the motions of sin was going, and it was by the law. Thou shalt not. Well, I'm not stealing. I'm not treating anybody wrong. You see, Paul is talking about here about the law, and he's talking about being dead to the law and what the law did. The law as it was, it deceived Paul. And he was in the motions of sin. Now I want you to see right here the context of Romans chapter 7. Look what it says in verse 5. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should walk in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taketh occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Look in verse 9. For I was alive without the law once. You know, people believe, and I don't care if you believe this. That's before Paul got to the age of accountability. See, I don't believe that. I believe that Paul is talking about on the road to Damascus. His flesh deceived him, see. Had nothing to do with accountability. It had to do with the law, and Paul was in the motions of the law. You know the reason God called Paul? Because Paul said, I did it ignorantly. Paul did it ignorantly. You know, Paul wasn't setting out to do something wrong against God. But sin had deceived him. There are people today that are in the church building that they're not going against God. Well, they think they're serving God. They don't know any difference. And sin has deceived them. And the law has slew them. You see, this has nothing to do with Paul and his accountability. Well, look what Paul says in verse... let me see if I can find it here. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. You see that? Paul ain't talking about after he got saved. Paul, after he got saved, he didn't consent unto the law that it was good. Why, he just got through telling you he's dead to the law. Paul didn't consent unto the law that it was good in what he did. No. But he said the law came and I died. I remember being in a church. I remember trying to do what they said do. I remember trying to follow Jesus. I gave everything I had to follow Jesus. And I didn't know about the law, and they didn't teach nothing about the law. All they taught was to follow Jesus. And that's what I tried to do, was to follow Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I tried to follow Jesus and be just like Jesus. I didn't know what the law said. I didn't know the law said if thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not steal, and if you ever stole, then you're guilty. I thought I ain't stealing. I ain't killing. So therefore I ain't guilty. I was alive under God. I thought I was God's child. I was a Christian, see. Well, I seen what the law was, and I got saved. Salvation is from the law. That's your accuser. It has to do with the law. Now I got saved. You know, when I got saved, I committed my soul to the Lord. Brother, listen, I had no trouble after I got saved. I have never had a problem with my salvation. I committed my soul to Him, and since then, that's never been a problem with my salvation. And so then I started teaching. Oh, I started teaching the Bible, and people started coming to Bible studies and stuff like that right there, and it was going pretty good. And so every once in a while in my teaching, I get a little loud. I thought, what am I doing here? Why, I'm preaching. Then I think, I'm not a preacher. I'm not supposed to be preaching, and I tone it down. I mean, I didn't want to talk loud. I mean, I'm not supposed to be doing that, see? I mean, now all this stuff is going on while I'm teaching. And this stuff is going on in my head. And it's rolling in my head, and I'm trying to teach. And it's going in my head, and I'm trying to teach. And it's going in my head. And I'm thinking, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I caught myself doing it a lot. I'm not supposed to be doing this. And so I got kind of worried about what was going on. So we went to Bible conference in Pensacola, Florida. And I told Mary Jo, I said, I'm going to ask every preacher down there how they know they're called to preach. And so when we got down there, I went out on the beach, you know, put on my bathing suit and stuff, and all the girls were following me. Yeah, you know that was so. And I went out there and there was this big old tall lanky guy, black-headed. And I went up. Now he come right up to me. He said, "Hey," he said, "you want to go to a Bible conference?" I said, "I'm already at one." He said, "You are?" I said, "Yeah, right there at that motel right there." He said, "Me too." And I said, "You going that Bible?" "Oh yeah, me too." And I said, "Well," we talked for a little bit, and I said, "You know, I believe the Lord's calling me to preach." Preach. And he said, "Me too." And there's old Bob Rees. And I said, "Well, let's me and you get together and let's ask all the preachers here how they were called to preach."
So we asked Jerry, Steve, we asked everybody. I mean, we run around like a chicken with his head cut off at the Bible conference, asking all the preachers, you know, what it is to preach and how you're called. And none of them could tell us anything. Well, I had no idea when I left that Bible conference how you could know. I had them all tell me, don't. Run from it if you can. Please don't do that. And so I had no idea. I had no idea, but it was in my head. You know, and I didn't know how to know if you were really called to preach. And what, you know, as there, you know, I heard other Baptist preachers say when the Lord called them, lightning struck. Boom! And they was telling me all kind of stuff, how the wind blow the doors open in the church and all this kind of stuff, you know. And so, and what is preaching? Come on, folks. What is preaching? You see, I if you look up the dictionary of preaching, it's heralding. And it's publicly heralding the word. It's like a public crier. I believe when when Paul preached from the synagogue, now it's having a big cheer up here and sitting up in front of everybody. Yes, I'm preaching it. And it's a crier. You're crying and you're actually preaching the word. I believe what Paul says in Corinthians over there, Paul said he was made a spectacle unto all men. It's like being in a theater. It's like I'm an actor almost, and I'm bearing my soul. I mean, I like what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 15. As much as in me. In other words, the preacher preaches as much in him, that's what he's preaching. And you know, he don't care when anybody likes him, when anybody agrees with him. He just preaches. And he preaches what's there and what God's giving. Look at the, you know, and there are people that are now, sitting out here now, at the Baton Rouge Bible Conference, I had several young men come up to me and they said, you know, I need to do more for the Lord. I'm sitting there thinking, do more for the Lord. Do more. You know, you can't do no more for the Lord. The Lord controls your life. He knows everything about you. Listen, I ain't doing more for the Lord. He's doing more for me. I have no idea what's going to happen next, and I really don't care. And whatever happens next, happens next. Every day is a new day to me. It's a new world to me. Every day. I get up and say, what's next, Lord? And just go on about my business. I can't do no more. Well, it's up to Him to do it. Listen, I ran all over this country, started all kind of Bible studies. I stayed gone so long in Bible studies that I actually got homesick and canceled every one of them and went home. Just sick from my own home. Listen, I quit my job. And if I had it all to do again, knowing what I do know now, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't quit it. Well, I could be drawing nearly $4,000 right now. Wouldn't have no trouble paying my light bill. But listen, if I had it all to do it again, I'd quit it again. Because that's what it took at that time for me to walk by faith. I'm glad I quit it. I'm tickled to death I quit it. But like I said, if I had it all to do again, knowing what I know now, see, then it was the thing to do. And I'm glad I did it. You walk by faith. Whatever God has in store for you. You know, when I quit my job, I wanted to be able to talk about the gospel any time that I wanted to. I didn't quit working. I just quit working for the public or a man. Listen, I bought more tools than I ever have. Worked more than I ever have. But it was on. But you know something? Any time I wanted to, I could talk about the Lord. And it didn't matter. I could talk as long as I wanted to, and I had nobody come over to me and say, hey, listen, you got to get busy or you can't do that. That's what I wanted. That's the reason I quit my job. So I could, you know, I believe right now that there are people out here
that should be preaching. And the Lord's calling you. Look in Philippians chapter 3. And you might be saying, well, how do you know? You know how I finally gave in to preaching? I went back to that nuclear plant, and I was working with this Baptist preacher. And he knew the problem I was having. And I was in a turmoil. And he said, why are you fighting it? And I thought, I don't know why I'm fighting it. I'm going to quit. And I committed myself to preaching the gospel. You see, we need men that will commit themselves. We need people who will publicly commit themselves, publicly cry out, and no matter what, they want to preach the gospel. We need that. We need preachers. We need teachers. We need people to stand for the gospel and publicly stand for the gospel. And don't care if you get humiliated. And let people see you in your weakness. Look in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded and have the same love, one being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on every man his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Stop right there. I believe when it says, let this mind be in you, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let this mind be in you. What he just got through saying in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now look in verse 5. Let this mind be in you also, in Christ Jesus, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, you know, I believe that God Almighty, he created everything in 6 days. And on the sixth day, what he done was he created man. And the reason he created man on the sixth day is because if he created him on the first day, man say, look what me and God did. He said, what if me and God did this together? Look what we done. So he created man on the last day, see. And the Bible said he rested on the seventh day. And I believe God rested from all his work on the seventh day. And then something happened. Adam got in the garden and ate of the tree. And when he ate of the tree, I believe that God went back to work again. And God as it is, serving mankind. People don't understand that. God Almighty is serving his children. It's like me having children, me taking care of my children, and me doing the thing for my children, and me watching over my children. Listen, there ain't a time I didn't know where my children were. I watched them like hawks. Listen, I believe that God Almighty is watching over his children. He's like serving us. We're serving him, but he's serving us. And then Jesus Christ, as it was, as a form of a servant. He said, let this mind be in you. Jesus Christ, as it was, served you. I believe that we ought to serve mankind. There are lost people out there, and we ought to be obedient as Jesus Christ was. He humbled himself and became a servant to all. I see people getting mad at me and all kind of religion and stuff like that. Listen, I don't get mad at them. I feel sorry for those people. I feel real sorry in my heart that they can't see this. Never do I ever get mad no more. It hurts me to see people like that. You see, I'm a servant, but so are you. And to preach the word is to herald the word of God. Listen, do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden you're thinking about the Bible and you can't quit? Say, nah, well, I might as well get up. No, I can't quit. I think about Samuel back in the Old Testament. God came to Samuel and said, Samuel. Samuel went unto Eli and says, what? What's wrong with you, boy? Eli says, did you call me? He said, no. And Samuel finally realized it was the Lord talking to him. Are you like that? You know, I bet there's preachers in here right now that you think maybe I are too, but you've never committed. Maybe you're lost and you've never committed your soul to the Lord. Maybe you think there's some kind of law or something out there that you think that maybe to see how to live in life, you go back there and look at it. And the law is some kind of good in that law for you. Maybe you've never committed your soul to the Lord. Listen, I walked out of my job. You know, that didn't scare me. That didn't scare me at all. I didn't care. It didn't faze me at all. You know, we started a church down in Oneonta. One or two came. It didn't faze me at all. I wasn't scared at all. You know, we got a church started, and it fell all to pieces. I mean, that Grace Church split. And then when I watched it split, I said, Romans 8:28, and I sat back in amazement and watched it all go on. I said, God, you're showing me something here. And I watched it all go on, and listen, I didn't have no grief and heartache about that. I'm sorry, people. You might think I'm some kind of weirdo or something like that. I know, listen to me, I know that the Lord is doing things in my life, and I just watched in amazement and said, God, I'm learning something out of all this. I watched it all go. It didn't scare me at all. And then a guy got shot in the eye with a nail gun, and it tore my whole business up. My son, listen, I worked day and night for that business. We didn't rest any, me and my son didn't. We worked as hard as we could. We worked at 10 and 11 o'clock at night on that company to get it going. And a guy got shot through the eye with a nail gun, and I lost my company, and it didn't scare me a bit. It didn't bother me. My son said, Dad, I wished I had got shot in the eye with the gun. I said, do what? I said, son, I'm sorry that guy got shot in the eye with a gun. I'm sorry for him, but I'm glad it was him and not you. Lost everything. Church split. Then everybody, you know, I wasn't here for a while. Everything like it went downhill, sour. Everything went bad. I wasn't scared. It didn't scare me. You know why? The Bible says God is able to make you to stand. I didn't care. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. I knew without a shadow of a doubt the Lord had called me to preach. And so I just quit. Done some things I probably shouldn't have done. But you know something? It came down to one night. I couldn't hardly speak. It came down on my job. I was working, Donnie was working with me. I was working with some other men and stuff. And when I climbed steps, it was like, I can't hardly get up the steps. And if I try to pick up a 2x6, it's like, I can't tote the 2x6. And it got so bad, I just sat down. And I say, no, put that up there. No, cut that a little shorter. Do this. And I was working men like that because I couldn't work. I was hurting so hard in my chest. And they said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. I had a 90% blockage. So there's nothing wrong with your heart. It's acid reflux. And so it got down to the point that I couldn't hardly talk. And I couldn't raise my voice. And listen, folks, it shook me to my core. You know why? I realized I couldn't do this. I couldn't holler. I couldn't preach. I couldn't herald the word. It shook me to my core. And listen, when I got my boy back, me and my brother and my wife started a Bible study. It was just us for a year, but I was the happiest person in the world, and I hollered the crap out of them. Now I know I'm called to preach. God Almighty is calling somebody right now. He's calling somebody right now. You know the Lord's calling you to preach. You just don't know how. All you got to do is have a willing mind, and God will take care of the rest. Lord calling you to preach? Commit. Stand up. Tell everybody, Lord called me to preach. And He'll open the doors. He'll make the ways. And you don't have to worry about it. God help you to get out of the misery that you're in if you think that God's calling you to preach and you're not doing it. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me and my fellow servants in the Lord. God, it's nice to be here. Join me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray, Lord, that the things that we say and do in this Bible conference would bring glory and honor to thy Son. And we pray that if there's anybody here, Lord, that's lost, that they'll trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if there's one here, Lord, that knows that, you know, or just thinks that the Lord is dealing with him to preach, that he'll listen to you, Lord, and commit himself. And the others that are here, the members that are not doing what they're supposed to do, Lord, we pray that they would commit themselves to whatever it is that they have give me a word. This is a good deal. what do you do when you get under conviction about? Lord, whatever you're under conviction about, people, I pray, God, that you commit yourself today to doing that.